Matthew chapter number 10 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. Thankful for the word of God, and I ask this morning, again, I'm going to have to stick kind of close to my notes this morning. I don't know why God is sending the messages that he's sending. I know they're a big part for me. I need these messages in my life. I need these scriptures and this help that God is sending our way, but when I get into this, I'm going to tell you, I'm full of opinion. I'm full of, I'm right. I just want to go ahead and tell you, I'm right. Ask my wife, she'll tell you that I am right. Amen? Man, can't even get an amen in here. But in my mind, you know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man is what the Bible says, but at the end of that way is destruction. So I don't want to go with my ways and my thoughts and my opinions. I want to go with God's way and God's word. So y'all pray for me again as we get into the scripture this morning. I don't ever want to get within myself. I don't ever want to get out of God's will and God's way in these messages. And I ask y'all, I desire your prayers as we get into the message this morning, that God will just help us and that I will keep my mind, just guard my lips as I preach this morning, that I won't get into my own mind, but I'll stay exactly where God wants us to be. Matthew chapter number 10 is where we're going to start this morning. If you will, I ask you to bow your head and pray with me and to surely pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for your spirit that we've already felt. We thank you that even as just as I am, I would be lost, but that your mercy and your grace, my freedom bought. God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for that. God, I pray to your Father as we get into the message this morning. God, I know that you spoke to my heart as I was studying this week for this message, and God, I had to stop and repent of some things, and I had to stop and ask for help in some things and for strength in my faith, God. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll continue that work in my life. I know that I'm a work in progress, that I haven't arrived yet, and I'm still just an old sinner saved by grace that still has plenty of faults and failures. But God, I ask you, dear Father, that you'll help me to heed to your word more, to follow you in your ways even more in my life, God. I pray, dear Father, as we preach this message today, that you'll guard my lips. God, help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart. Leave my opinions and my thoughts elsewhere. God, I pray that you'll just help in everything that we do. Most of all, I pray if there's one today that hears this message that may be lost, whether they hear it today or maybe later this week on Facebook or whatever, God, I pray, dear Father, that whatever part of the message they need to hear, that your sweet Holy Spirit can speak to them and that you can draw them, because we all know that it's about your spirit. It's not about my delivery or anything else, but it is the power of the Word of God. God, we thank you and we praise you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Matthew chapter number 10 is where we're going to begin reading. Before I start reading this morning, I want to share something with you. A lot of times things happen in my life, and I don't know, maybe sometimes I see an example of a spiritual lesson in my life, but my wife has got me into this hiking thing. We enjoy going out and hiking, and she took me hiking yesterday, and Lord, I don't know where. No, I planned the trip. I'll quit blaming it on her right now. But we were in the middle of nowhere with nothing to see. It was one of the most boring hikes I've ever been on in my entire life. I planned the whole thing out. Our girls went with us, and they said, "Daddy, we are never going hiking with you again." I wouldn't blame them after yesterday. But we started out on a little old hike that was supposed to be around 7 miles. And by the time we finished, I think we were around 11 miles is what we walked yesterday, and it was because we got to the top of a little mountain, and there was a little spur trail, is what they call it, and this little spur trail was supposed to take you over to the top of the mountain where you could have a view, and we hadn't seen a view all day. The only thing we'd seen was woods and bushes. That's all we had seen. So I said, "Guys, are y'all up for walking up to the top of this? It says that there's an overlook tower up here. Let's go see what we can find." The name of the trail was something like High Rocks Trail or something. Everybody was, "Yeah, let's go. Let's do it." Well, I don't know if it's quite that enthusiastic or not, but they followed me. And we took off up the trail, and we didn't yet. The trail was supposed to be a mile and a half up and a mile and a half back, which Autumn said she didn't hear me say that. She said, "I thought you said a half a mile up and half a mile back." But anyway, so we start up this trail, and it was one of the most grueling parts of the day. I mean, it was an uphill trudge. It was just everything that I'm carrying a backpack, and we're walking up this hill, and it's hotter than blazes out there yesterday. Sweating. I mean, I wouldn't have been any wetter if I jumped in a swimming pool with my clothes on. I mean, it was just miserable. And we were going along, and probably when we reached about the 3/4 mile mark, or maybe even a little quicker than that, it might have been around the half mile, Addie says, "That's it, I'm done. Y'all coming back this way, right?" And I said, "Yes, we are." She said, "Well, I'm sitting down." I said, "Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes." Well, it was a lot longer than a few minutes, but we walked on just a little further, and I don't guess we made it. You know, and when we started walking off from there, Maggie said, I can't believe she's quitting. I mean, they competed everything they do. So Maggie was like, she's just being ill. She's just sitting down, you know, and she had this little attitude. Well, we didn't walk much farther than from here to the road, and Maggie said, going back to Addie. She said, I'm not going either. Y'all have a good time. Take some pictures. Well, we get on up the trail probably in a mile or so, and we're going round and round these little cutbacks, and Autumn says, that's it. Let me know what you see when you get there. So I kept going, and I got up there, and I didn't make it around two more turns. And I said, you know what? This is not any fun by myself. If everybody's miserable, we're defeating our purpose. And I turned around and started back down the mountain. And we all got back together, and we walked. And after a little while, people smiled a little bit. But, I mean, it was kind of like them Scotty Perdue smiles, just a little bit. I mean, we're just making ourselves smile. But as we went through the day, I began to think about that. And, you know, as we started up that trail, we all had the best intentions. We wanted to reach the top. We wanted to reach where we, this overlook. And then as we went along, and Addie said, that's it, I'm done, I'm sitting down, I'm quitting. It wasn't long after that somebody else dropped out, and somebody else dropped out, and somebody else dropped out. You know what? In our spiritual lives, our decisions to keep trudging on, to keep going when it don't feel good, when it hurts, when the pain. Look, we all have different trails that we're walking. There's some of you that are walking trails, and they're beautiful. You've got great overlooks. You've got water along the way. You're watching the birds fly, and, man, you're just skipping along, having the most wonderful day ever. And then there's some of you that you're in the mountain right now. I mean, you're trudging. You're making them switchbacks. You're sweating. You're just not having a good time at all. But don't quit. There's never a time to quit, because if you quit, you're going to affect somebody else's decision on whether they're going to keep going or not. And if you're not careful, it will cause three or four or maybe more of us not to see what God has intended for us to see. Amen. We'll not reach our destination. I'm not talking about heaven, but there's a place that God wants us to live here in victory. There's a place that God wants us to live here with Him in a closer walk. And we'll not reach that destination. And it's going to take us all together. You know, I could have said, no, come on, Addie. Come on, get up. I could have encouraged her. But when she said, that's it, I'm stopping, I said, okay. And Maggie could have encouraged her. Maggie could have said, come on, Addie, you can do it. But instead she said, she's weak. And kept walking for a little ways. If we're not careful, we as Christians do that. We see somebody struggling, and the only thing we can do is focus on how weak they are, instead of picking them up and encouraging them and trying to help them get on up to where we're supposed to be together. I don't know, that one was free this morning. The rest of it I'm going to charge you for. But that little maybe spiritual lesson that God gave us this morning, maybe you can take it and use it this week as you go on. Because I know we all feel like quitting at some point in time in our lives. But there is never a place for a child of God to quit. Never a place. Matthew chapter number 10. Let's begin reading this morning. The Bible says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter number 17, if you will, turn with me over there. Matthew chapter number 17. We're not going to have a healing this morning. I'm not going to bring nobody up here and bop them on the head and see if I can knock them out or anything like that, but I want us to look at what Jesus just said. Jesus said that he gave his disciples power to heal. Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Boy, I hope you feel that way this morning. I hope as you are in the house of God this morning that your thought is, man, this is different. Man, this is weird. And I hate the yellow tape in the church. And I hate skipping pews. And I hate not being able to shake hands. But instead of focusing on the negative this morning, let's just look as the disciples did right here. And they said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I want you to know that I think that it is good for us to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Even though I know that it's different and it's weird and it's odd and all all these things, I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. As they sat here today, and we know this as the Mount of Transfiguration, we know how as Jesus took Peter up to the top of this mountain and the other disciples, that there they saw Elias and Moses also, and the disciples were excited about this, and they said, well, now we need to build three tabernacles. We need to build one for Elias, we need to build one for Moses, and one for Jesus. And notice what happens, that the God of all creation, that the God of glory spoke out and said, Jesus, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hey, there's some wonderful people that we know, and there are some wonderful things that are happening around us, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the only one that is worthy of our honor and our glory and our worship and our praise. And you know when I say that, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are inseparable. If you've got one, you've got all three, and don't try to separate them from each other. I know there are all three different forms of God in our life, but they all three are one. And they said, that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Be very careful. There are some people who want to take this verse of scripture here, and they want to take this Jesus only and look and say, well, Jesus Christ is the only one that we need to see here, that Jesus Christ is the only one that we need to worry about. But I'm so thankful that, as I just said a few moments ago, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are all three one. They do different works in my life. They work differently in my life, but if I've got one, I've got all three. I can't separate them. I can't minus them. I can't divide them. I don't need to multiply them, but I want you to know this morning that I am thankful for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is not saying that Jesus only is worth our worship and our praise, but this is saying that Jesus was the only one there. Verse number 9, and they came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now I wanted to read verses 1 through 13 because I just thought it was some great reading, some extra reading, extra Bible reading for you this week. Verse number 14 is where I want us to get into our message today. And when they had come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. As we're looking here in Matthew chapter number 10 and Matthew chapter number 17, I want to draw your attention to two different things. First of all, how that in Matthew chapter number 10, that Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I am giving you power. He said, I'm giving you power to cast out devils. I'm giving you power to heal the sick. I'm giving you power over these things. And then in Matthew chapter number 17, as we read about the Mount of Transfiguration, and as the disciples that were with him were coming down out of the Mount of Transfiguration with him, that they were approached by a man that said, Jesus, I need you to help me. I need you to reach down and touch my son, because he has these things going on in his life, and I took him to your disciples, and they did not have the power to cast out the sickness or the demon. And Jesus looked at them, And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith," or "Oh, perverse generation," is what he actually said. And he went and he cast out the demon. Then the disciples come back and said, why were we not able to do that? Why didn't we not have the power to do what you said we could do? This morning, for just a few minutes, I know that we kind of alluded to this last week and in the message last week, but I want us to look for just a few minutes this morning, and this is where I'm going to have to kind of stick close to my notes because I don't want to get within myself, but I want to ask ourselves, and I want to ask us as Christian people, I want to ask us as Fellowship Baptist Church, and then as the church as a whole, as the church, where has the power gone? Why don't we have the power? We as God's children have been given power over so many things that still seem to hinder us. Jesus has given us power. God has given us power to live a life that is free of burdens and trials and tribulations. And you say, wait a minute. You tell us all the time that we may still have trials and tribulations and burdens. Yes, we do. I know that those things come in our life, but Jesus has given us the power, and God has given us the power by saying, I want you to cast all of that on me. Cast your care upon me, for I care for you. That he says, take upon me my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So the things that we carry on, God has given us power over those things, but yet we won't take them and cast them on them and say, here, God, I'm giving you my problems, I'm giving you my trials, I'm giving you my tribulation, and I want you to help me carry these things. God, I want you to carry them for me and just let me know how I'm supposed to handle it. We as God's children have been given power over so many things that still seem to hinder us. It seems that the convicting power, this is a different type of power, is a lot less than it used to be in the church. You know, it used to, you would hear about churches going into a revival. You would hear about the revivals, you know, years ago, and people having standing room only in their churches, about people coming to the house of God and just hoping to listen through a window when the man of God got up and preached the word, in churches that had hard pews, in churches that didn't have air conditioning, in churches where there was no nursery for the kids to go to, in churches where there wasn't a water fountain out front for you to get a drink of water, but people were so hungry and so thirsty for the word of God that they wasn't worried about their comfort, but they had a desire to be in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. They had a desire to see their lost loved ones come to know Jesus Christ, and they would beg them to come to church with them. They would go get them. They would do whatever it took to get them to the house of God. And then you would hear about people being saved night after night after night, and baptisms that was 25 and 30 people. How long has it been since you've heard of anything like that? Where has the conviction power of the church gone? Where has the convicting power of the children of God gone? We're so worried about our comfort a lot of times, and we're so worried about whether maybe I'm sitting here pouring sweat right now. I wish the air condition was on about 30, but I know some of you would kill me for that. Y'all be wrapped up in blankets. But I want you to know that we come and we're worried about our comfort. We're worried about whether we're going to get out of here on time or not. We're worried about whether the restaurant is going to be full by the time we get there or not. You know, some of us, myself included, I really like coming at 10 o'clock. I really enjoy this time that we have come to come into the house of God at 10 o'clock, but it's not about what I can do after church after a while. I need to be more concerned about what's going on in the house of God, about the convicting power being in the house of God, about sinners coming to know Jesus Christ. I need to be more concerned about that than anything else that's happening in my life this morning, after a while, tomorrow, next year, whatever. I need to be more concerned about that and about the power of the church being more prevalent in my life. Why would the power that has been given us to God, by God, be diminished or lessened? Well, I want to tell you something this morning, that it's not God. If the power has been diminished, if the power has been lessened, it's not God's fault. And it's not God that has lost any power. It's not God that has changed. He said, I am God and I change not. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That it is not God who's changed. But I want to tell you something this morning, that I'm the one that's changed. I'm the one that's allowing God's power not to be prevalent in my life. I'm the one that's allowed God's power to be diminished or lessened in my life. That it's my fault this morning, because I'm the one that is causing that power to be diminished in my life. So let's look at the reason that Jesus gave the disciples. He said, it is because of your unbelief, the reason that you didn't have the power to cast out this devil. I want us to look at what's going on around us right now. I want us to look at all the unsurety that is happening in our lives, the questions that we have, the changes that we're going through, the different things that's happening in our nation right now. And I believe that there is a factor that is coming to Christians' lives. I believe that there is a factor that is coming to the house of God, that there is a factor that's coming to the church that has caused the power of God to be diminished or lessened in our lives. And that factor is fear. That factor is fear. I believe that Christian people are living a little bit in fear right now. And you may say, well, I'm not afraid of anything. I don't have a fear of anything. But somewhere down deep, we all have a fear of uncertainty. We all have a fear of unknown. We all have a fear, or we have a setback of things that's going on around us that we don't know, of the questions that don't seem to be answered, of the unsurety that's happening around us, of the changes that we can't control. And we look in God's Word and we see that some of these things are fulfillment of God's Word, but we're still not sure what the next step is. We're still not sure of the next change that may happen. We still have questions, and because of that, there may be fear in our lives. But I want you to know that 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That we need to know this morning that we have power of Jesus Christ in our life. We have the power of God on our lives. And no matter what happens, no matter how unsure you are, no matter what questions you may not be able to answer, maybe if you don't understand COVID, if you don't understand the different things going on in our nation right now, no matter what's going on, I want to assure you that God is in control. I want to assure you that God is not surprise, that God has no questions. He has no unsurety. There's nothing changing that He's not in control of. There is no reason for us as Christian people to fear, because all of my trust should be placed in Him, that He is in control, that He has it all in His hands, and He has you and I in our hands, that we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Don't live in a spirit of fear, but live in a spirit of a sound mind. I want you to know this morning that you can trust Him. Has He ever let you down? Absolutely not. And guess what? He never will. Amen. Amen. Don't live in fear. And I'm not talking about don't wear a mask. I'm not talking about don't use your hand sanitizer. I'm not talking about those things. Use common sense. You know, I believe with all of my heart that God knows my days. That God knows what's going to take me out of here. God knows whether I'll get COVID or not. God knows whether I'll be in a car wreck this afternoon or not. God knows. But I'm not so dumb to go out here and stand in the middle of 77 and say, well, you know what? I'm going to stand right here on the white line, and if a tractor and trailer hits me, it was just God's will. God may say, well, I gave you more sense than that. You big dummy, come on, I'm going to take you home. I don't know if God would have said it just like that, but that's kind of the way I would have said it if I was God. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to be, and I'm not going to tempt God. But what I am going to do is do my best to live my life without fear, knowing that God is in control. Church, let fear go and trust in Jesus Christ. But the disciples, they couldn't do it because their faith, their power had been affected by fear. Let's look at another one. This is kind of getting into some other reasons that maybe Jesus didn't list out for the disciples here, but maybe some things that I felt that has hindered the power of the church. Our application of God's word has been compromised and watered down. Our application to God's word in our life has been compromised and watered down. If you will, turn with Isaiah chapter number 5. We're going to read verse number 20. The Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness after the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want you to notice the wording of what I said. I want you to notice our application of God's word has been compromised and watered down. God's word has not been compromised. God's word has not been watered down. Because Hebrews chapter number 4 says that his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want you to know that it is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That God's word has not changed. I know I've been saying this a lot here lately, but it is absolute truth. It is final authority. God's word has not changed. But what has changed is our application of God's word to our life. What has changed is I've decided that my opinion that goes along with God's word, or maybe don't go along with God's word, is more important than the final authority and the absolute truth. I've decided that my interpretation and the way that I want to see it for my own life and the excuse that I want to make for my own sin is more important than what God's word says. I've decided in my life that whatever I want to add to his word, I know this Bible, it's supposed to be absolute truth, but you know, it was written a long time ago and we're living in 2020. Things have changed. Well, I want you to know something, that God's word has not changed. We've got to stand on God's word. We've got to apply God's word the way that God's word is written. And when we begin to put our spin on God's word, when we begin to put our spin on the application of God's word in our life, then we are going to lose the power, because the power is in the word of God. We cannot take this word and begin to mold it and shape it to fit our lives. We cannot take the word of God. Look what it says. Woe unto them. Stop. Just hold on a minute. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Has anybody seen any of that around us lately? All of a sudden, what's bad is good and what's good is bad. All of a sudden, what God has laid down for principles for us, the world is saying those are no longer principles. Those no longer apply. Well, you guess what? God's word's application in our life has been watered down. That's what's happened. When we get to the place where we want to say, well, I think that God's word means this. It's not about what you think. It's not about what I think. It's about what God's word says. Well, preacher, I don't understand all of God's word. So how am I supposed to apply something that I don't understand? Well, listen to me. If you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, it won't take but just a second when you start misapplying the word of God to your life, and you'll feel that Holy Spirit go to speaking to you. You'll feel that Holy Spirit go to talking to you. You'll feel him go to mingling in your heart. Then it is up to you whether you're going to yield to that Holy Spirit or not. You know, there's some things that have come into my life that the Bible does not say anything about. It's not in here. It didn't happen in Bible times. But when I got in the middle of it and I understood that I was misapplying God's word to my life, that I was fixing to lose the power of God on my life, it didn't take long for his Holy Spirit to draw back the reins and say, hang on a minute, where are you going? Any of y'all ever felt that before? Amen. We can't misapply God's word to our life. If we want to know where the power has gone in our churches, if we want to know where the power has gone in Fellowship Baptist Church, or the church up the road, the church down the road, or in the church altogether, we need to be sure that we're following the word of God as strict as we possibly can, as to the letter as we possibly can, because the word of God is the power in our lives. It is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, preacher, if we stick with the word of God, if we don't start just changing some things, then our church is going to go away to nothing. People won't come. If we try to live strictly by the word of God, if we try to apply the word of God just like it's written, people's not going to come. They're going to say we're old-fashioned. They're going to say that we're not willing to change with the times. They're going to say whatever they want to say, and they're not going to come. Listen to me this morning. If they're coming and we're misapplying the word of God and we give them a false sense of a relationship with God, then we have failed them, and they're still going to be condemned to an eternity in hell. So we better stand on the truth, so that when one comes and they hear the word of God, that it will be powerful in their life and they'll know they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to move on so I can get done. The power of God. We are focused on men instead of on God. We have changed our focus from where it should be to where it is. Look at all the circumstances around us. Not one time have I turned on the news and heard any news reporter say, you know what, we need to look back to the word of God. Not one time have I heard anyone speak on TV and say, look, we need to look into the Word of God for what's going on. But no, listen to what we hear. We hear, well, we need to look to the intellectual elite that is out here. We need to look to our sports heroes and let them guide our actions. I don't even know if we have sports heroes anymore. I don't know. I want to tell you something really and truly. If you're looking unto athletes as your heroes, back up just a minute and let Jesus be your hero and don't worry about anything else. I like to watch some sports. I like to watch some of the stuff that's going on. And there are some men and some ladies who have took a stand for Jesus Christ, and I back them 100%. I'm glad to see it. But I want us to look this morning that don't focus your stuff on men. Don't focus your attention on the intellectual elite. Don't focus it on sports heroes. Don't focus it on the president or the governors. But don't focus it on vaccine developers or the majority. And don't even focus it on our own selves. What do you mean, preacher? Look, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you are storing up a little ammo because you think you're going to stand? It's none of your business whether I have or not. I just ask a rhetorical question, okay? How many of you have put a few extra cans of food in the cabinet because you're going to stand because you're focusing on your own self? Don't focus on you and your abilities, because when we do that, we lose the power. We should not be focusing on ourselves for the power or these other individuals that I've spoken of this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. It shouldn't stand on the intellectual elite, the sports heroes, the president, the governors, that the people who are in charge, it shouldn't stand on any of that. That my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But look at this part. But in the power of God. You want to know why the church don't have power anymore? Because we're looking to everything else other than God for our power. We're looking to everything else. Well, maybe this is going to happen. Do you really think that this is going to happen? Do you think there's going to be a vaccine? Do you think that there really is a coin shortage? Do you really think that all these things are going on? Man, what a messed up time we're living in. But I want you not to focus on the wisdom of men, but focus on the power of God, the one that redeemed you, the one that saved you, the one that carries you, that knows where you're at this morning. We need to focus on the power of God this morning, and the church can have power. Amen. I gotta get done. Verse number 4, or reason number 4. Why do we not have power? Why? I think this one could be one of the biggest ones. Because we as Christians, we as saved people, this don't have anything to do with lost. This don't have anything. You know what? Lost people live like lost people because they're lost. If you were lost, you'd probably be doing the same thing they're doing. If I was lost, I would be doing the same thing that they're doing. Let me just stop just 1 second this morning and say, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God and you're living like the lost, there's a problem. If you are doing the same things that they're doing, we all fall, we make mistakes. I'm not talking about perfection. Wait just a minute, maybe I am. Because Jesus said, be ye holy for I am holy. He has called us to a life of perfection. We may not ever reach that perfection, but he has called us to that life of perfection. And if we're lost people live like they do because they're lost. But saved people, if you're living like lost people, there is a problem with your relationship with God. There's a problem with my relationship with God if I'm living like lost people. But lost people live like lost people because they're lost. But I want us to look this morning, I think maybe one of the reasons that we as the church have, the power has been diminished. The power is not as effective as it should be in our lives, is because we have become numb to the power of the cross. We have become numb to the power of the cross. Do you remember the day that Jesus Christ saved your soul? Hey, you stood for a day of the week just a little bit ago. I had no clue they were going to sing that song this morning. But you stood and you said, I remember the day, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or someday. You stood and said, I know that Jesus Christ saved me. I remember the day. I remember the time that Jesus Christ spoke to my heart, that I knew that I was a sinner, that I knew that I needed forgiveness of my sins, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. I know that. Do you remember what it felt like to have the power of the cross on your life right that minute, that you were set free, that that burden of sin was gone, that shame was gone, that whatever sin may have held you bound up was all of a sudden turned loose? You got up and it seemed like the sky was bluer and the grass was greener, and that the people that you didn't like, all of a sudden you wanted them to know Jesus Christ, and the people that had wronged you, all of a sudden you had some forgiveness for them in their heart, in your heart. Do you remember that day when Jesus Christ saved you? Absolutely. You were realizing and you had come to know the power of the cross in your life. But if we're not careful, and if I'm not careful, there are times in my life when I become numb to the power of the cross in my life. I look at the circumstances around my life and I forget about the power of the cross. I look at the things going on in my life and I forget about the power of the cross. But we know that 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Church, if we want the power of God in our church, if we want the power of God in our lives, if we want to know that when we come to church that we have been in the presence of God, we need to be sure that we don't become numb to the power of the cross. We desire a feel-good, prosperous life with Christ. We desire a life that we think that everything good is going to come our way because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to focus on what He can do for us and be sure that He meets all of our needs, that He has absolutely supplied everything that we need. But what we forget to focus on is that He supplied everything that we need when He gave His life on a cross, when He cried, "It is finished," when He shed every drop of blood that He had for you and I, and then on that third day He got up and He arose back into heaven after the days there, that then, right then, was everything given to us that we should ever need, that the power of the cross was completed, and that we have the opportunity of eternal life because of the power of the cross. Amen. Don't become numb to the power of the cross. Yes, I'm living a good life. I'm living a blessed life. But I've been promised a great eternity because of the power of the cross. We need to be reminded that without the power of the cross, we're still sinners, lost without hope and on our way to hell. Don't become numb to it. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Silas has got him some rabbits. I don't know why we got rabbits, but we got rabbits. When I've always thought about rabbits supposed to be out in front of about six dogs running just everything he can go. That's what I've always thought rabbits were supposed to do. But we got these little black and white bunnies sitting down there at the house, and we've went and got us a male and a female, and we're going to raise rabbits. Don't know why, but we're going to raise. Come to Pilot Mountain and see our rabbit farm, I guess is what we're going to do. So we got these little rabbits, and man, the first day, Silas was so tore up about those rabbits. He went down there, and I mean, my 17-year-old son was down there going, "Goochie, goochie, goo." No, maybe not quite that bad. But he was tore up about that. I mean, running here and there, and he was so excited about these rabbits. And he's still pretty excited about them. But he went to stay all night with somebody the other day, and his sisters went and watered his rabbits. Went and cleaned out the cage for his rabbits. Went and took care of his rabbits without, he didn't even ask them. And if I know if you look back there at him right now, he's going to shake his head and say, "No, I didn't forget my rabbits." But I think he forgot his rabbits. Because the Gucci Gucci Goo was over. That first impression was over. That, "Oh, I got rabbits that he wants to turn loose in the house." Ain't going to happen. He got these precious prize rabbits. All right. The point that I'm getting to is when we first met Jesus Christ, we were, "Whoo, hallelujah, everything's wonderful. I want you to know about Jesus Christ." But then as time goes on, we become numb to the power of the cross. We forget what the cross did for us. We forget what a change it made in our lives. We forget how wonderful it was that we come to know Jesus Christ. We forget that without the cross, without Jesus Christ speaking to us, that we would still be lost and on our way to hell. Remember what the cross did for you. It still works for others. It still works. Our purpose here on this life, each and every one of us have a purpose. And I believe that one of our purposes is, you know, I say it all the time. You know that I say it all the time. God, I want to live a life that gives you glory and point someone else to the cross. I believe that one of my things to do is to be sure that I am pointing people to the power of the cross, to show God's power. In Romans chapter number 9, I'm not going to turn there, But in Romans chapter number 9 and around verse number 17, the Bible is talking about Pharaoh. And it says that Pharaoh was even raised up for a time to show God's power. As Moses went to Pharaoh, and that God had put Pharaoh in that position so that God's power could be shown. Okay, I'm going to get on my toes right here. I may have to sit down. My purpose is not to see what kind of financial gain I can have. My purpose is not to see how much enjoyment that I can have here on this earth. There's nothing wrong with that. My purpose is not to see what kind of truck I can have. My purpose is not to see how many softball games that we can win. My purpose is not to see all of these things that we enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with all those things as long as they stay in their proper place. But my purpose is to point people to the power of the cross. You want to know why the church has lost its power? If not for one of these other reasons that we've been talking about this morning, because we have lost our focus. We have become numb to the power of the cross. We have become numb to knowing what it might do for our best friend at work that don't know Jesus Christ, to what it might do for our son or our daughter that don't know Jesus Christ, what it might do for mom, dad, sister, or brother. We've become numb to what the power of the cross may do in their life. Zach, if you will, come on. Get ready to sing an invitation hymn for us this morning. Church, I don't know. I think that any one of these reasons could affect our power. Look, as the disciples went, Jesus said, I have given you power. And then they said, but we can't do what you said we would be able to do. It wasn't God's fault. He gave them the power. But it was their fault for their unbelief. Church, if we see, look, I know that we are living in a wicked time. We are living in a time, I really thought, me and a guy was talking yesterday, I really thought that COVID-19 would be one of the things that turned our nation and especially our churches full throttle towards God. I really thought it would. But it seems as if it's almost had an opposite effect. It seems like it's been overshadowed by some other things that's going on. That's been going on for years. Look, when God steps out to do something amazing, never think that the devil's not going to try to do something equal, opposite reaction to that. And as we've been going through this thing, I really thought that man, people are going to turn to God. And I know it's weird because we're skipping pews and people don't know what's going on, but I really thought that when church opened back up, and maybe it will when things come back to normal, I really thought that we may have standing room only in this place. That people would be hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. But church, are they seeing the power in us? Are they seeing power in us right now? Or are we living in fear? Are we misapplying God's Word to our life? Have we become numb to the power of the cross? As God was speaking to my heart again yesterday and we were out walking, sometimes I just get real quiet when we get to walking and just ask God to speak to my heart and my mind. Man, I had to do some soul searching. I think I've become numb to the power of the cross. Preacher, what do you mean? You're our pastor. You're up there preaching about the power of the cross all the time. Well, saying it and letting it be real in my life is two different things. I think I've become numb to it. I have forgotten what it can do for an old lost sinner. My focus might have changed a little. Church, where are we at this morning? Tell you what we need to do. We need to put all of our hope in Jesus. Zach's going to sing this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you're here and you're lost this morning, trust me, there is power in the cross, not only to change your life, but to change your eternity. There is power in the cross to forgive your sins. Church, I don't know what God's sending these messages, but I know that I need them. And I'm going to ask you this morning, this altar is open. If you need to come and talk to God, maybe one of these things has come in your life. Maybe you're in one of the situations that we talked about this morning. Or maybe, just maybe, you know someone that needs to know the power of the cross. There's no better place to come and pray for them than right here. Go ahead, Zach.
I've been held by the Savior. And I feel fire from above. river. I ain't the same, a prodigal returned. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Stranger to the prison, and I've worn shackles and chains, and I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same.
I'll sing with
That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. Oh, thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I really appreciate you being here. Those of you who are here in the sanctuary, thank you again for being here. If you're watching us on Facebook, thank you for watching us this morning. The only thing I know to tell you is y'all going to have to pray that me and Autumn find some shorter hikes and I'll find some shorter messages. It's the only thing I know to tell you. But no, please pray for me as we go through this. It seems like every Sunday when I leave here, I feel empty. I'm saying there's nothing else to preach. And then throughout the middle of the week, as I begin to study and pray, God always supplies, and I want to thank him for that. But just pray that I always be exactly where God would have us to be. If you're joining us on Facebook, we're going to let you go at this time. Thank you very much. We'll be back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.